my Bible. This is the true word of God. The word of God is true. I believe what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I believe God has given us this word. I believe God has given us this book. So I can live a victorious Christian life. Not just when I die, but right now, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Open your Bibles with me, please, to Psalm, the 42nd Psalm. That's a good song, man. You've been so good to me. Amen. And they were like synchronized, weren't they? They were like synchronized. Amen. They sung that thing. I think I'm going to start signing songs to praise team members. Amen. And I'm not going to tell them until they get to church. Amen. They really need to depend on the Holy Spirit there, won't they? Amen, amen, amen. Nah, I'm not going to do that. Amen, amen, amen. Are you at the 42nd Psalm? The Bible says in verse number 1, it says, as the deer, the word heart means deer. Actually, it's a male deer, but it's talking about deers. Amen. As the deer panteth over the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? Amen. For those of you who may not already know, I mentioned it earlier, the focus for Word of Knowledge Ministries for 2026 is to have a greater spiritual thirst for God. A greater spiritual thirst for God. A thirst for God that is greater than any thirst that we have ever had before. Okay? A greater spiritual thirst for God. You know, a thirst that's greater than anything we have experienced in our life in the past years. Okay? A greater spiritual thirst, and not just a greater spiritual thirst for God, but a greater spiritual hunger for God. Okay? A greater spiritual hunger for God. Amen? In other words, to desire more of God. Okay? Desire more of God. Amen. And to have a greater spiritual thirst for God, there are some things that we must do to have that thirst quenched. Y'all still with me? Because how many of you know that whenever we are thirsty, we look to have that thirst quenched? Y'all still with me? So to have a greater spiritual thirst for God, and there are some things that we must do to have that thirst quenched. Amen? In the physical sense, you know, when someone is thirsty, to have their thirst quenched, they drink water. They drink juice. They drink Kool-Aid. Y'all still with me? Amen. They drink sodas, and some people like to have their thirst quenched by drinking alcoholic beverages. Y'all still with me? Amen. And when they drink these alcoholic beverages, many times people get so drunk that they are drunk is drunk. Amen. Where they cannot control themselves. Are y'all still with me this morning? So there are different things that people do in this, you know, to quench their physical thirst. But how many of you know this morning we're not talking about a physical thirst? This morning we're talking about a spiritual thirst, because how many of you know that water, juice, sodas, alcoholic beverages just will not quench a spiritual thirst? In many cases, alcohol won't even quench a physical thirst. It just make you forget about your problem until you wake up. Y'all still with me? Amen, amen, amen. But when it comes to a spiritual thirst, The only way that that thirst can be quenched is from above. It's by God. Y'all still with me? Water's not going to work. Alcohol is not going to work. Sodas is not going to work. And Kool-Aid is not going to work. And whatever else we drink is not going to work for a spiritual a thirst. These things must be quenched by power from on high. In other words, from God. Are y'all still with me? Amen. Amen. And it starts with having a desire. Okay? It starts with having a desire to get closer and closer and closer to God like never before. Y'all still with me? Amen. And we get closer to him, okay? When we get closer to him, we get to know him better, okay? And the only way that we can get closer to him is there's some things, as I already stated, that we must do in the year of 2026. Number one, we must do more praying than we did in the past. Number two, we must do more fasting than we did in the past. Number three, we must do more studying than we did in the past. We must make more sacrifices for God, okay? Because of God, we should make more sacrifices than we have made in the past. Y'all still with me? We should hear the word more than we have heard the word in the past. That means that we have to go to places where the word of God is being taught on a more consistent basis than we did in the past. Y'all still with me? Amen. We need to spend more time being obedient to God's word than we did in the past. We must spend more time in the presence of God than we did in the past. And we must spend more time in corporate worship and individual worship to God than we did in the past. Are y'all still with me? Amen. And when we do these things that I just talked about, when we do these things more than what we have done in the past, it helps us to have a better relationship with God. It helps us to have a better relationship with Jesus. It also helps us to have a better relationship with the Holy Spirit, and that is very, very important to us. It helps us to make more of a difference in this world than we have made in the past, and it helps us to make more of a difference in the lives of others than we have made in the past. Y'all still with me? In other words, we need a complete overhaul, okay? We must develop the spiritual thirst for God, not just when we want something, but on a daily basis in 2026 to be able to reap the benefits of having our thirst quenched by God himself. Have I lost anybody this morning? Amen. I mean, after all, it is God who brought us into the year 2026. Contrary to unpopular belief, we didn't bring ourselves. We didn't just happen to wake up this morning. We're here because of God's grace and God's mercy, okay? God's plan for us to wake up into 2026 and to serve him more than we did in 2025, to depend on him more than we did in 2025 and beyond, the years beyond, and to put more trust in him more than we did in the past. Not just quote the scripture, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, but to do what the scriptures tell us to do, and it tells us to trust in God. And as I've already said this morning, it's a new season. It's a new day. Y'all, you still with me? There's no reason to look back because you have been removed from the past. And as I already said, the reason why they call it the past, because it is the past. It's time for us to move forward. It's time for us to start moving ahead. Not going back, but moving ahead. But listen to this. We have to be very careful how we move ahead. We have to be very careful that we do not try to get ahead of God. We need to be very careful that we do not try to get ahead of Jesus. We need to be careful that we not try to get ahead of the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible never tells us to get ahead of them. The Bible tells us to follow them. Y'all still with me? Amen. And in many cases, in 2025, I believe many people in this world try to get ahead of them and do things their way instead of doing things God's way. They tried to lead God instead of having God to lead them. They're trying to lead the Holy Spirit instead of having the Holy Spirit to lead them, and they ended up in a bad situation. All because they did not know who is large and in charge. And it's not us. It's the one who sits high and looks low. It's the one who, the Bible says, shall supply all of our need, according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. No one's higher than God. No one's equal to God. There's no one or nothing that can compare to God. God is God all by himself, and we cannot allow the spirit of arrogance nor the spirit of pride to cause us to believe that we can do things that only God can do. Only God. Somebody say, only God. We must depend on him more in 2026 than in the past, because if we do not, the same things that got the best of us in 2025 will be the same things that get the best of us in 2026, because those same problems that were back there, they moved to 2026 also. And they are looking for someone to devour. I'm talking about the spiritual wickedness in high places. They didn't stay back. They didn't say, so long, bye-bye. No, they came with you. They came with us to do the same things in more of a serious fashion than they did in the past. But somebody say, thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through Christ Jesus, who is still seated on the throne at the right-hand side of the Father. And the same Holy Spirit who was here in 2025 is the same Holy Spirit who is here today in 2026 to lead us and guide us into all truth. So we cannot try to get ahead of them. We must follow them, because the Bible tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 3 verse 8 that the Lord himself goes before us. Are y'all still with me? The Lord himself goes before us. The Bible tells us in the 23rd Psalm, verse 3, that he leadeth us beside the still waters. He leadeth us. That means that he goes there before we do. All we need to do is just follow him. Y'all still with me this morning? The Bible tells us in Isaiah 42, the Bible says that he will go before us to make the crooked places straight. Are y'all still with me? I mean, you're walking around all zigzag, don't know about where you're going. Just follow God, and he'll lead you to the straight path. Walking around like you're drunk on alcohol. Y'all still with me this morning? Amen. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Bible says that Jesus Christ was risen from the dead, and he is the first fruit of those who sleep. In other words, he was resurrected first. And one day you and I will be resurrected. Well, I will be. Hopefully you do too. Amen. So I got to speak for myself. I can't speak for nobody. Yeah. Y'all still with me? And the Bible tells us in John 16 that the Holy Spirit is here to lead us and guide us into what? All truth. So that tells me right there that I do not have to try to lead them, Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit. They are going to lead me. And as long as I know my place in the equation, as long as I know my place, humble myself, cast all my cares on him and let them lead me. We know in 2026 we're gonna be all right. See? Because see, when we allow the Holy Spirit to do what God sent him here to do, you know, the one he's working on the inside of us, but to send him here what God sent him to do, he will lead us and guide us this year. Not 2025, not 2023, but this year, the new year, he will lead us and guide us to a place where we will have a greater spiritual thirst for God. Christians, we can say all we want. We can talk is cheap. Don't cost you nothing. There is no way that we will be able, because this is not just a New Year's resolution. This is a focus. And there is no way that we will be able to have a greater spiritual thirst for God without the Holy Spirit leading us. There's no way. I don't care how much money you have in your pocket. Don't care what your rank is in the military. Don't even care what your title is in the church. We must depend on the Holy Spirit for everything. We must get ourselves out of the way. Like we say in words, let go and let God. And we need to stop saying it, but it's time to start doing it. If we want to be successful in 2026, it's a new season. It's a new day. Are y'all still with me this morning? Once we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us in having a greater thirst for God, he will also lead us when we do the things that are required of us to have that thirst quenched. The Holy Spirit is involved in all of it. Because I don't know about you, when I get thirsty, I want my thirst to be quenched. You know, I used to be a marathon runner back in the day. I'm just telling you, I don't do it now. But I used to run just because. I don't care what the weather was. I don't care how hot or cold. I'd be out there running. And when I finished that race, especially on the marathon runs, you ever ran a marathon before? 26 miles, 385 yards. I'm looking for that water table. I'm running, but I'm like, man, how far away? Where's the water at? And you get to the water table, you can't stop and stand there and drink like you're cool. You got to keep going. You take the water, just throw it over your head, drink a little bit, and keep on running. Because once you stop, it's going to be hard to get started back. But when I'm thirsty, I'm looking for something to quench my thirst. And you all do too. You think I'm joking? Everything that you drink that's in your refrigerator right now, when you get home, pour it outside in the ground. And then watch yourself have an attitude and jump in your car and go to the closest 7-Eleven you can and buy you another soda. Are y'all still with me? We need that thirst quenched. And the only way we can get that spiritual thirst quenched is by divine involvement from on high. Are y'all still with me? As I said before, to quench a physical thirst is just take water, juice, whatever. But spiritual thirst is a whole totally different ball game. Amen. And listen to that. Once again, notice what I say our focus is. Our focus is not to have a greater thirst or physical thirst. It is to have a greater spiritual thirst for God. Because listen to this, that which is physical, and that which is spiritual, and it's a big difference. Y'all still with me? That's why when the Bible tells us, as we engage in this warfare, it tells us that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds and casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and taking into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Those are spiritual weapons. Y'all still with me? They are spiritual weapons. Amen? So in order for us to have our spiritual thirst quenched, it requires spiritual involvement. Okay? Not physical, but spiritual. Okay? It requires leadership and guidance from the Holy Spirit, and we must follow the Holy Spirit. And if you do not know him, it's time for you to get to know him, because he's the one who, when you ask God to save you, when you ask God to come into your life and make you a Christian, it was the Holy Spirit who baptized you into the body of Christ. It was a spiritual baptism. You didn't see it. It just happened through faith. That's why I said before, water baptism doesn't save anybody. That just shows the world that, you know, well, it should show the world, you know, that you've been saved. You died to yourself, and you've been raised in newness of life after you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But some people, they go down a dry devil, and they come back out a wet devil. Because water baptism doesn't save anybody. But it's symbolic of the spiritual baptism that happened that you couldn't see with the natural eye. And it was the Holy Spirit who did that. See, a lot of people know about Jesus. He died on the cross. A lot of people know about God. You know, he's our Heavenly Father. But they don't give much focus to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the one that Jesus sent back here to guide, lead and guide us to all truth. A lot of times people say, well, you know, God told me this. No, it wasn't God. It was the voice of the Holy Spirit, who's representing Jesus here on this earth, representing God here on this earth. Y'all still with me? I'm not saying God can't speak to you. He can do whatever you want to do. But the Holy Spirit is very active in this world, and he wants to be very active in our life. And that's what the Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, do not quench the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. That word quench means do not suppress him in your life. Let him do what God sent him here to do in your life. I must let him do what God sent him here to do in my life, which is to lead me and guide me into all truth. Are y'all still with me? Amen, amen, amen. And it all starts with accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It all starts with Jesus. Because the Bible tells us in John 14, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No man or woman cometh to the Father but by me. That means I need to get a closer relationship with Jesus. Are y'all still with me? So once again, our focus is to have a greater spiritual thirst for God. And our base scripture is what we just read in the 42nd Psalm, and I want you to go back to there. You should already be there because we haven't turned anywhere. Amen. And the Bible tells us in the 42nd Psalm, the Bible tells us once again in verse 1, it says, as these deer, King James says heart, it's talking about a male deer, but all deers, as the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Question. He says, my tears have been my meat day and night, while people continually saying to me, where is your God? Amen? So in the 42nd Psalm, the psalmist, you know, it could be David, it could be someone else. A lot of times, you know, depends on, you know, a lot of theologians, they say, well, different people wrote the book of Psalms. A lot of people give it all to David. But regardless of who it is, that person right there is going through some tough times. Y'all still with me? They are lamenting. In other words, they are having a situation, you know, where they are passionately expressing their sorrow. They are passionately expressing their grief. Y'all still with me? They're not up, they're down, okay? They're going through some situations at that particular time that seems to really be getting to the best of them. Amen. And because of what they are facing, they have a deep spiritual longing for God to intervene in their situation. Okay? They realize that what they're dealing with, you know, they can't get it, do it themselves. They need some intervention from above, some divine intervention. Y'all still with me? Amen. Amen. And they have a real, genuine hunger and thirst for God, and to express to the people, to us in this case, what they are dealing with. They use the metaphor of a deer. Are y'all still with me? Now, I've said many times in the past, whenever you see an animal in the Bible, or you see a bird in the Bible, you know, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall fly, you know, like eagles. You need to know something about that individual animal. You need to know something about that bird. In this case, you need to know something about a deer. Because if you don't know things about the animals that are listed in the Bible, we will not receive the full effect of what the scripture is telling us. We'll just pass right over, just like we do when we go to bed. Down to lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my dose, so to keep. If I die before I wake, I pray the Lord something. Amen. And then you start snoring. We're not even thinking about what you just said. It's just a thing to do. Y'all still with me? So we need to know something about the animal, because then we will get a full view of what this person is going through. Y'all still with me? So let me tell you a little bit about the deer. Unlike the human being, the deer does not have a lot of sweat glands. So, you know, when we, you know, a lot of times we get hot because people in here be like, I'm hot. And they start fanning. And the reason why, when they start getting hot, what do? To cool ourselves off, we start sweating. That's what the sweat glands are for. Did y'all know that? See, y'all just got a class. Is that health? Is that health? Yeah, y'all just got a health class this morning. Well, that's my word of knowledge. We hit them all. Health, geography, geometry. I mean, we talk about all the class. Amen. So, you know, we cool about it. Deers can't do that. Y'all still with me? They cannot do that. So what they do is that they rely on something called panting. In other words, they have a longing to get to some water, okay? They rely on something called panting because they do that so they could regulate their body temperature. Now, you know, to talk a little bit about panting, I know that many of you have dogs. I think we all have seen a dog one time or another. I am correct, right? We know what dogs are. And many times, you know, when you're sitting there and you're patting your dog, the dog is sitting there, you know. And some of y'all think he's breathing. And some people think he's just laughing at them because he loves them. But the dog is panting. He might be happy, but he's panting happily. Well, how many of you know deers don't pant happily? Okay? They make the same sound as a dog. And when they are panting happily, they are doing a rapid inhalation and exhalation because they are in need of water. Y'all still with me? Amen. They are in need of water. That's what they do. Amen. Now listen to this. Once they start to pant, they start looking for streams of water. They start looking for water anywhere. And if you're not careful, you leave your door open and a deer in your area, and you got some water in your pot, they might just walk in your house and start drinking your water. Because they are looking for water by any means necessary. Y'all still with me? Amen. To quench their thirst, okay? To regulate their body temperature, because if they do not regulate or balance their body temperature, they will die. They can't live. And so when you see a deer running, don't start throwing rocks at him. Let him go or her go. Let the deer go. Y'all still with me? Because you're looking for water. You know, you run across, there's one right there. Leave him alone. Let the man go get some water. Y'all still with me? Amen. Because when a deer pants, it's not just because he's thirsty. When he pants, he is facing severe hydration. He is facing severe overheating. He is facing severe stress. And if they don't get to water, it can cause other illnesses for the deer. That's why they run into the water. Y'all still with me? Amen. When a deer pants, it's a distress signal to let us know that that deer is struggling. He's struggling for his life. Y'all still with me? And he's trying to get to a place to regulate his body temperature so he would not continue to lose body fluids, because if he do, he will die. And once again, the psalmist, whether it's David or whomever, is using the example or the metaphor of a deer panting to let us know what he is going through at that particular time, to let us know how serious it is. Y'all still with me? Amen. And he used it from a spiritual point of view, because he doesn't need any physical water like the deer needs. He needs some spiritual water from on high. Once again, we're talking about a spiritual thirst. We're not talking about a physical thirst. We're talking about a spiritual thirst. Amen. Because, see, at that particular moment, when he is talking, and he's talking about a deer panted, it seems to me he's dealing with some spiritual stress. It seems to me he's dealing with some spiritual dehydration. It seems to me that he's dealing with some spiritual things where he is struggling to be able to control his mind. He's struggling to be able to control his spiritual self. He's struggling to be able to control his body, because his mind and the spirit and in his body, he is overheating based on what he's facing at that particular time, and he's looking for some spiritual water from on high. Are y'all still with me this morning? Amen, amen, amen. And how many of you know many people today face the same situation? They are spiritually drained. They are spiritually dehydrated. They are facing spiritual stress. And in the year of 2025, many people start looking for answers in all the wrong places. And Satan lied to them and told them that they could handle it on their own. And they believed his lie. And because they did not realize how severe their situation was at that particular time, their situation got worse and worse and worse and worse until they got very spiritually sick to the point where they stopped serving God. They turned back into the world because they tried to do it themselves, or they listened to other people who didn't know what they were talking about either. I'm here to tell you, if we want to be successful in 2026, we must have a greater spiritual thirst for God, and we must allow God to quench that thirst for us. Amen. Because this man understood, or woman, whoever it was, that the only way that they could get their body temperature regulated, their spiritual self regulated, and that mind that the devil plays on regulated, the only way they can get it under control is that they must depend on God. In other words, they needed spiritual food and spiritual water from on high to quench their hunger and to quench their thirst that they were facing at that particular time. And we need the same thing. Are y'all still with me? Amen. Let's go back to the series of scripture, because we see that he's going through some severe time. I'm just so excited. I just need to drink a little water. Y'all still with me? Amen. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. So look at the 42nd Psalm again. The Bible tells us here, it says, as the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? In other words, he knows that what he's going through, only God can change his situation. And then look at what he said. My tears have been my meat day and night. In other words, he's crying so much his tears are just falling down to his eyes and getting down into his mouth. And he's licking the tears, like some of us do today when we get depressed. Y'all ain't got to admit it. I know. Amen. Amen. You can't help but taste tears because sometimes because they flow so fast, they get all up in your lips. But how many of you know, even though he was allowing, you know, because tears are like water, right? He was allowing water to get down in his mouth, it still wasn't quenching his thirst. He said, my tears have been my meat day and night, while they continue to say to me, where is your God? And then he starts saying, he said, when I remember these things, I pour my soul in me. In other words, he said, when I remember these things, you know, my situation gets worse. And then look at what he said here. He says, he remembered this. Look at what he said. He said, I had gone, you know, in other words, he said, I had gone, or I once, some translations say I once. He said, I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise with a multitude that kept holiday. In other words, he said, I have not always felt this way. He said, when they were having those feasts, you know, the feast that the Bible talks about in the Old Testament, you know, the feast of Pentecost, the feast of the Passover, and that, what they used to do, they used to all get together. You know, when we all get together, amen, what a joy, amen, anyway. They used to all get together, and the Israelites, a lot of people, and they all used to go together to the house of the Lord happily. And when they was going to the house of the Lord, on their way, they would praise God. They would worship God. They was having a good time in the Lord. So he's remembering when he was happy, when he was going with the multitude, lifting up praise to God. In other words, he remembered a happy moment even when he was going through the situation he was going through. But look at what else he said here. He said, once again, verse 4, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise with a multitude that kept holy day. In other words, the feast, their holy days. And then he came back to reality in verse 5. Y'all still with me? He came back to how he's feeling at this particular time. And he says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? In other words, he's getting on himself like, man, what are you doing? You know, he's talking to himself. Why am I going through this? Anybody ever talk to themselves before when they was going through something? Why am I going through this? And look at what he said. He said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. He's trying to encourage himself in the Lord. He said, hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him. Now he's focusing on who can give him something for his thirst, something to quench his thirst. He said, for I shall praise him for the help of his countenance. He said, oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites from the hill Mazar. Let's talk about flowing water. You can study it on your own when you get home. Ain't got time to get deep into that. Amen. He said, deep calleth unto thee. At the noise thy water spouts. All thy waves, thy billions are gone over me. In other words, you know, he just had that moment of happiness. Then he goes back to where he was, and then he's starting to feel worse than he did before he started talking about where he was at one time. Are y'all still with me? In other words, that lets us know that he's going through some tough times. He's struggling to have his thirst quenched. But then look at what he said. He said in verse 8, he's starting to gain confidence now. He said, yet the Lord will command, verse 8, his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto God of my and my prayer unto the God of my life. In other words, he's starting to get better. Why? Because he's focused on the one who can change his situation, and the only one who could quench his thirst during that particular time is God and Christians. The only one who can quench our spiritual thirst is God. Because as I've already said, in the year 2025, we all had our own problems, our own situations, our circumstances, and in those situations, we needed God. But we tried to figure things out ourselves. Or we went to ask my neighbor. No, don't ask your neighbor. Neighbor don't know any more than you know. What do you think I should do? No, don't ask them. Ask God. Don't even call Tyrone. Not that Tyrone right there. Ask God. Ask God. People did not do that in 2025. And as I said, they ended up in the worst state. This man was totally dependent on God to quench his thirst, to quench his hunger, amen, because he knew that when God quenched his thirst and hunger, it will give him the strength to continue to run the race. Are y'all still with me? If we want to be able to be successful in 2026, if we don't want these things that got us down in 2025 to get the best of us, we must put our trust in God and depend on him to quench our spiritual thirst, because that's the only way it's going to get quenched. That's the only way. Once again, a lot of people listen to the lies of Satan in 2025. And the lies of Satan are anything that goes against the word of God. Doesn't matter whose mouth they come out of. If it's not the word of God, that person to you is a stranger. And the Bible tells us not to listen to the voice of strangers. John chapter 10. For those of you who are taking notes, that's where it's written at. We have to look to God. Y'all still with me? We may have believed Satan's lies in 2025. We cannot believe his lies in 2026. And the only way that we are not going to believe his lies is that we must have something to measure his lies against, and to measure his lies against is the word of God. That's why, listen, the written word, the spoken word, and the word made flesh, and that's why we must spend more time praying. That's why we must spend more time studying. That's why we must spend more time in the presence of the Lord. So we will know the truth. Because Jesus said, the truth that we know, if we continue in it, will make us free from bondage. Parentheses. I know it's not there, but that's what he's talking about. So we can't trust Satan. Instead of allowing him to weaken us spiritually, physically, and mentally, instead of allowing him to do that to us, we must have a greater thirst for God. And we must allow God to quench that thirst. And the only way that we're going to be able to do that is that we must be led by the Holy Spirit. That means we must get to know more about the Holy Spirit and his role in our lives. Me and my time is flying. Y'all still with me? Because unlike the deer, as I've already said, the streams of water is not going to do us any good. It'll quench your physical thirst, but it's not going to do anything for your spirit. We must thirst for the living water. And as I told you before, the living water starts with Jesus. Because he said, I am the living water. I want you to go with me, please, to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. John chapter 7. When you get there, say amen. John chapter 7. Jesus is the living water. It starts with him. The Bible tells us he's the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Must have a relationship with Jesus first. And if you're streaming online and Jesus Christ is not your Lord and Savior, today is your day. You can receive it. If you're in a backslidden state and you want to get back into connection with God, today is your day. You can receive it. Unlike us, Jesus does not take vacations. God does not take vacations. Bible says he never sleeps nor slumbers. Amen. Y'all still with me? We need living water. We don't need stream water. Or Evian and what's some of the other water's name? No, don't say that because they might try to sue me. Don't, amen, amen, amen. They might say, Pastor Ron, messing up our business. We do, amen. 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 For those of you who are streaming online, just erase that line that I just said just now. Amen. Amen. So look at John chapter 7. Look at verse number 37. This is the Bible says, in the last day, the great day of the feast, because they were having a festival. The Bible says Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures had said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Not stream water, but living water. How many know there's a difference between the stream waters and the living water? Y'all still with me? And then he says, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, but that Jesus was not yet glorified. So Jesus was talking about the Spirit before he even sent the Spirit back. Christians, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. Not just any kind of spirit. He says the Holy Spirit. In other words, in order for us to receive the living water that Jesus is talking about, the Holy Spirit has to have a place in our life. Now, I know many people use this scripture when they're talking about speaking in tongues. Amen. That's another subject. We're going to talk about that one day, too. Because I believe every Christian should receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit so they can speak in tongues. Not just speak to say, I'm speaking in tongues. Amen, amen. But it's a spiritual language. For those of us who have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, don't get baffled about it right now. I will teach it soon. But I'll do that Bible study. That means you got to come. Amen. I'm just saying. So we must depend on the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because Jesus said, once again, the water that I'm talking about is living water, not stream water. And the Bible tells us, but this, in verse 39, he spoke of the Spirit which they had believed on him should receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. How many of you know Jesus, in John 16, when he was talking to the disciples about him leaving, he says, it's expedient for you that I go away, because if I do not go away, the Spirit will not come. In other words, when Jesus went up, was resurrected, he sent back the Holy Spirit. And the role of the Holy Spirit is to lead us and guide us into all truth. You know, I get deep into that. You know, I got the scripture here. But right now I'm just showing you what he's saying here. You know, but Jesus is at that particular time, because Jesus had not been crucified yet, the Holy Spirit was not here living inside of us yet. See, unlike many of us, God has an order for everything. That's why the Bible says he's not the author of confusion. If there's confusion in the house, then that means it's not God. See, God is a very orderly God, and as children of the Most High God, we should be as orderly as we possibly can, not just in the house of the Lord, but in our lives. We need to be in order. Can be bouncing back and forth off the wall. We can't have one foot in and one foot out. We can't be double-minded people, because the Bible says in the book of James that a double-minded person is unstable in all of his ways. So we serve an orderly God. We need to be in order. So once again, when God, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, he sent Jesus Christ to die for us so we could have everlasting life and also be able to be back in fellowship with God without going to the priest. We can go to God in the name of Jesus by way of the Holy Spirit. You all still with me? And when Jesus finished his mission on earth, now he sent the Holy Spirit back. And although in the scripture we just read it, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit was not yet given, how many of you know since that time he's been given? Because the Bible says your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So we must now focus on the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us into all truth, because that's why Jesus sent him back by permission from God the Father, because nothing happens unless God the Father says it's going to happen. That's why Jesus said, I do nothing of myself, but what my Father tells me to do, that is what I do. We need to be more like Jesus. Y'all still with me? Do what God says. Amen, amen, amen. So in 2026, we must trust in God. We must trust in Jesus, but also we must trust in the Holy Spirit's leadership in this world. We can't quench him. We can't suppress him. We must allow him to work in our lives, because if not, we will not have the success in 2026 that God wants us to have. Now let's talk a little bit more about the Holy Spirit. Let's go, as a matter of fact, let's go to John 16. Let's go to John chapter 16. We're talking about having a greater spiritual thirst for God. Let's go to John 16. Have I lost anybody this morning? Am I putting anybody to sleep this morning? That's wrong, allows you. I don't know how you could ask that question. Jesus Christ was talking to the disciples after he told them in John 14 when they were sad because he was getting ready to leave them, after he told them to let not your heart be troubled. Okay? Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. He told them in chapter 16, verse 7, he is talking about the Holy Spirit. I just mentioned this, but I'm going to read it. He said, nevertheless, verse 7, I will tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. Notice the Bible calls him a comforter. Notice the Bible say that theme, or the ghost, call him a comforter. So that tells me that one of the works of the Holy Spirit in this world is to comfort us in time of need. He's a comforter. Notice the Bible say the person who's going to spread all the gossip, the person who's going to cause all the strife. No, he said the comforter. He said, the comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. Verse 8, and when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world, Satan, is judged. He said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. In other words, you will not understand what I'm saying because the Holy Spirit has not come yet. He said, but when he, the Spirit of truth, now listen to what he do. He goes from the comforter, now he's calling him the Spirit of what? Truth. Well, if Jesus called the Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth, there must be a spirit of lies. Because if not, he wouldn't have called him the Spirit of truth. He would have just said, the spirit. But he was very specific how he introduced the Holy Spirit. He introduced him as the Spirit of truth. That tells us there is a spirit of lies, and the spirit of lies is called Satan, because the Bible tells us in John chapter 6 that he is the father of lies, because there is no truth in him. Y'all still with me? And so many of us, Christians and non-Christians, in 2025, in the past years, we listen to Satan's lies instead of allowing the Spirit of truth to lead and guide us. Now, a person not saved, they have no choice, because they've never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So they're not led by the Spirit, because the Spirit doesn't dwell on the inside of them. Because it starts with accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It starts with him. And once again, once we accept him as Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit goes to work now. He baptizes us into the body of Christ. In other words, he put this stamp of approval on us saying, you don't belong to bondage anymore. You belong to freedom. Because who the Son shall set free is free what? Indeed. Are y'all still with me? So we're continually talking about the Holy Spirit here. Have I lost in the Bible? What verse did I leave off on? Thank you so much. He said, howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all lies. Do y'all see that? There's a difference between the truth and the lie. Jesus didn't say he would guide you to all lies. Pastor Ron said that. He said he would guide you into all what? Truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth, because there are no lies in him. Because he's the Spirit of truth. Y'all still with me? For he shall not speak of himself. Do y'all see that? But whatsoever he shall hear from who? Good God Almighty. In other words, when he speaks, the Holy Spirit, he is not talking loud and saying nothing. He is not talking out of the side of his neck. He is speaking what God tells him to speak. Y'all still with me? We need to understand how powerful the Holy Spirit is. He's not just a ghost. He's the Holy Ghost. And listen to this. I will not get into it today, but a lot of things we don't know of God, the Holy Spirit already knows those things of God. And God, y'all ready for this? God uses the Holy Spirit to reveal the things that we don't know about God to us. See, listen to this. There is a lie out there, and it has even invaded the church, that God works in mysterious ways. God does not work in mysterious ways. God works according to his word. Well, Pastor, the Bible tells us that the Bible says the eyes have not heard and the ears have not seen, or the ears have not heard, or the eyes have not seen. The Bible tells us, and people take that verse out of context and they read it and they say, well, the Lord works in mysterious ways. Well, they don't know what they're talking about. He does not work in mysterious ways. He works according to his word, because when we look at that scripture next week, we're going to see in the same series of scripture, the Bible says, your eyes have not seen, your ears have not seen what God has set for man, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches the deep things of God, things we call mysteries. And the Holy Spirit is trying to reveal those things to us that we don't know. But we're too busy watching TV. We're too busy hanging out in the clubs. We're too busy not being busy spending time in the Word of God. We're too busy not being busy, not spending time in prayer to God. When we go on a fast, we focus on what we can eat and what we can't eat instead of trying to get spiritually close to God. I say we, I'm talking about Christians, not just word of knowledge. It's time to change our focus. If we want to be better in 2026, if we want to receive more from God in 2026, we can't do it the same things we did in 2025. If we do, we're going to end up in the same place. That's why we must have a greater spiritual thirst for God. I'm almost done with part one. Part two, next week. You don't want to miss it. Let's go back to 16. Once again,
I'm going to start with 13. I'm going to read it quickly because my time is about up. He said, howbeit, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall speak, that shall he, whatever that he said here, that shall he speak. And he will show, what? He will show you things to do what? He will show you what? The Holy Spirit is going to show me the future before it comes? Well, how can he show me something before it comes? Because he goes before us. See, if you're sitting in this congregation and you're not sure what the weather is outside, and if I go outside before you do and it's raining, I can come back and tell you that it's raining outside. Well, Pastor, how do you know? Because I went outside before you did. Are y'all still with me? So he's going to show us things to come. I got 30 more seconds. The clock says 0:00, but I'm going to add 30 more seconds. Y'all still with me? I mean, I do own the clock. Y'all do know that, right? Hold on. Amen. And then the Bible says, verse 14, he shall glorify me. This is Jesus talking. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. In other words, Jesus said the Holy Spirit in you will experience everything that I said was going to happen, and I get the glory, but all glory belongs to God. He said, he will glorify me, okay, and he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I that he shall take of mine and show it unto you. And Christians, I'm going to stop right there for today. I know y'all are tuned in, you're excited, you lost track of time, seems like I've only been teaching for 10 minutes, you want to continue on for the rest of the day, but I'm going to stop right there. Go ahead and stand to your feet. I'm here to tell you, we're going to continue part two next week. I'm here to tell you, it's a new day. We have another chance to get it right, to get closer to God. It's unfortunate to say many people don't have that chance. Some of us lost loved ones in 2025. I personally lost two first cousins from the same family in 2025. One died like 6 months after the other. Two sisters. Maybe you all lost someone in 2025. Or you know someone that lost loved ones in 2025. We can't do anything about that. But we can do something about ourselves. Because we're still here. We're still here. Right now. But the Bible says life is like a vapor. We could be here now and gone in the next split second. It's time for us to refocus our focus. We get wrapped around on the little things. They get the best of us. But don't you know the word of God says it's the small foxes. They do what to the vine? Spoil the vine. We got to get control of the small things. We have to ask ourselves what's really important. What's really important? What's really important is our relationship with God. You know, as I was listening to the testimonies on New Year's Eve, that's why I like testimonies. Those are the kind of testimonies I like. When people are giving God glory, not Satan, they're giving God the glory. But when I listen to some of the testimonies, you know, they really touched me because, you know, people are facing some pretty serious situations. And you never know unless they tell you. That's why we need to continue to pray for one another. We need to encourage one another. We can't assume that everything is all right with everyone. But the most important thing we need to do is to keep our faith in God. As they told us that they did in the situation that they faced, they continue to keep their trust in God. Because once again, he's the only one who can quench our spiritual thirst. We saw the psalmist, David, or whoever it was, they were going through some tough times. Use the metaphor of the deer to express their situation. And maybe there's some of us in here right now, or you're streaming online. Maybe you are panting like the deer, searching for spiritual water. But I'm here to tell us, and I'm here to tell you who are streaming online, God can and God will quench your thirst. You must go to him. Because the Bible says there is nothing too hard for God. With man, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Amen? Somebody give God a hand praise, because he is worthy.